Thank you, Greg and team. Good morning, everybody. Again, glad to see you. In our message time today, we're continuing with the series we started last Sunday in this short but oh-so-practical five-chapter book in the Bible called James, written by the half-brother of Jesus. And the theme of the book is Faith Really Works. The title of today's message is Faith Really Works when you need wisdom. Back in 1995, Time Magazine's Man of the Year runner-up was world-famous researcher, MD, genetics professor, William French Anderson. Today, Dr. Anderson is serving a 14-year prison term because about 3 years ago, he was arrested on charges of sexual abuse and child molestation. Following his conviction, William French Anderson's attorney said in a press conference, and I quote, "Nothing about having a 176 IQ means that you have good judgment." You know, so much of life is making decisions. And many of our decisions are really high-stakes decisions. And so when you're facing a decision, what's your MO? What's your decision-making process? You flip a coin? Talk to the guys at the club? Sit around with a few ladies playing cards, flip on Oprah, call a psychic hotline, all of the above? Just sort of what's your process about approaching decisions with wisdom? Well, every Sunday when I stand before you, I'm fully aware and cognizant that many of you are facing today, this week, some very significant relational decisions, some very significant vocational decisions, some very significant educational or financial or spiritual decisions. And when you come to those key intersections in life, how will you handle them? Well, the book of James says, congratulations, I've got some good news for you, because God's wisdom... wisdom from the very heart of God is available to you for the asking. That's good news. Wisdom is available for the asking. And here's what he has to say in James chapter 1. Today we're picking up at verse 5. Here we go. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. And he will not rebuke you for asking. James says God has all kinds of wisdom. And wisdom is the application of spiritual truth. It's not the accumulation of facts. A lot of you know folks who have so many facts accumulated. But wisdom is the application of spiritual truth. And James says God has a lot of that. He has a lot of direction for your life, and he's more than willing to share it with you. In fact, nothing would please him more than to steer your life in a good, constructive direction. Nothing would please him more than to come alongside of you and help you, because he cares about you so much, and he loves you, and he's willing to share his wisdom. And so James says, if you're facing a decision, God has wisdom, and he loves to give it generously. You remember the story of the prodigal son, and you remember the elder brother? Remember how the father stood with the elder brother when the elder brother was dealing with his bad attitude? And the father said, I want you to look out and see all this here on my estate. You see all this? It's all yours for the asking. All you had to do was ask. I think some of us have an elder brother mentality when it comes to God. We don't realize just how generous he is. Look again at verse 5. We can ask our generous God, back up to verse 5, We can ask our generous God. He'll give it to you. Notice this. He's not going to rebuke you for asking. He's not going to look at you and go, all right, if you had just listened to me in the first place, or you mean it's you right back again? God's not one of those who's looking to pile on and say, you know, I told you so, I told you so. He'll not rebuke you. He loves to give wisdom to you generously. And so when you need wisdom, I exhort you to get on your knees, open up your hands, look up heavenward and say, God, I'm asking you to intervene. I do not want to leave you out of this equation. And here's the wonderful promise from James 1:5. You know, there are very few promises in Scripture of a guaranteed yes. I'm invited to pray about all kinds of things, but sometimes I get a no, sometimes I get a not yet. But the prayer for wisdom, if asked in faith, is a guaranteed yes. God loves to come alongside and help His children, help His sons and daughters with direction. It's yours for the asking. Now, here in verses 6 and 7, it goes on and he says, it's yours for the asking now. I mean, there's a qualifier that you're asking in faith. A prayer for wisdom is a request that's never denied if asked in faith. Verse 6, but when you ask the Lord, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided, notice, between God and the world, and they're unstable in everything they do. God says, I don't want to be on a level with the psychic hotline. I don't want to be on a level with the boys down at the club. I don't want to be on a level with the girls playing bunco. I don't want to be on the level with your buddies on the golf course. I want to know if you're willing to seek my heart and if you've got the courage and the humility and the submissiveness to follow me and me only. Otherwise, you're just a person out here, just sort of, you don't have any real purpose. And you're saying, well, God, I want to know what you want. I want to know what you want me to do. But if I don't like it, that person gets nothing from me. They're just floating between me and the world, me and the world, me. They don't know what they want. When was the last time you obeyed Jesus when everything in your fiber is screaming, no? Demonstrate faith by saying, God, I've concluded your wisdom is higher than any other wisdom. Your guidance is more trustworthy than any I'm going to be able to find. And I got to tell you, whenever I'm facing decisions, which is every single day, I go, first of all, I'm asking, God, does your word weigh in on this specifically? And then secondly, I'm going to some wise people, some wise, mature people, saying, listen, you've navigated these waters before. I'm not the first person to navigate these waters. You've navigated these waters well. You have anything where you could weigh in on my life? Something that could God speak to me through you? But then I am getting on my knees and saying, God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but this is beyond me. I need you to weigh in. I'm asking for your guidance. I'm asking for your direction. And God says, I love that spirit. I love that spirit. I'm not going to leave you high and dry. It's yours for the asking. And here's some times when we need it. Wisdom is really needed when you face, and let's put some of these words up on the screen. How about responsibility? I mean, this morning, we were watching all these parents here with the little ones. You know, my kids now are 26 and 25. But I remember vividly that first night having them home. and being literally on my knees. And over the years, and to this day, still, nothing has driven me to my knees. I mean, certainly my work does, but parenting. Not because, you know, my daughter or son were all that difficult. I mean, they had their challenges. But I just wanted to do right by them. I wanted to do right by Mary Beth. I wanted to do right by Ryan. I wanted to know when I needed to push, because dads need to push. And when I needed to back off, because sometimes dads need to back off. And wisdom dictates when. I needed to know when I needed to be tougher and when I needed to be softer. You need to do both, and wisdom dictates when. I needed to, you know, some hills are worth dying on. Not every hill is worth dying on. I needed to know when I needed to be willing to go to war and when I just needed to let it go. I needed to know when I needed to say something and when I needed to step back and allow somebody else to say that same message, because they would hear it better at today. They would hear it better from one of you than me. I mean, when you face responsibility, you need wisdom. And when you face adversity, you need wisdom. There are times when you just feel so hemmed in. And you say, God, I'm in over my head here. And I'm not sure I'm handling this well. I'm not sure I'm coping well. And I'm not asking for an explanation. I'm just asking you to help me honor you in this difficult situation. I'm not sure how. And here's something that may surprise you. But James goes on and he says, we need wisdom to know how to handle prosperity. A wise man told me years ago that most believers pass the test of adversity. Not as many believers pass the test of prosperity. How are you doing with the test of prosperity? Hey, can I ask you a couple of pointed questions? Do you make more money now than you ever thought you'd make? Are you a tither yet? Or even close to it? You may not be doing so well with the test of prosperity. James says, verse 9, believers who are poor, they have something to boast about, for God has honored them. In other words, wisdom is going to keep our prosperity in perspective, because it's easy to be deceived by the facade of wealth. But even a poor believer can say, hey gang, I've got riches you don't know about. Even the poor believer can rejoice because God has enabled that person to see their spiritual wealth. I may not have much in the bank, but I'm God's son. I am God's daughter. I am an heir of Christ Jesus. I have everlasting life. God has great things prepared for me. And then the wealthy believer, verse 10, and those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. Because they'll fade away like a little flower in the field. They may think they're a big shot. They're just a little flower in the field. And the wise believer senses that, knows that. The wise believer rejoices because he sees, she sees her real size and realizes that, hey, I need grace just like everybody else. God has redeemed me. I'm not such a big shot. All I have has been given to me by the Lord, and it's to be faithfully administered, and I'm just a steward. I'm not an owner. I'm just a manager. Read a story of a father, a father of a very wealthy family, and he wanted to take his son on a trip to expose him to how people of lesser means would operate. So he really set up an appointment with a family, a family that lived in a rural setting. They were farmers. And so this wealthy dad takes his boy out there and he leaves him for a couple of days with this rural family that they would have considered a poor family. Well, on their return from the trip, after dad goes and picks up his boy, on the way back, he says, well, son, how was the trip? And his son said, well, dad, it was great. And the father said, well, son, did you see how poor people live? He said, well, dad, I sure did. Well, tell me, son, what did you learn from spending time with poor people? The son answered, well, I saw that we have one dog, but they have four. I saw that we have a pool that reaches all the way to the middle of our garden. But you know, they have a creek that doesn't even seem to end. We have imported lanterns in our garden, and they have the stars at night that they can see so clearly. Our patio reaches all the way around to the front yard. They have the whole horizon. We have a little small piece of land to live on, and they have fields that go beyond our sight. We have servants who serve us, but you know, they're really busy serving other people and happy about it. We buy our food. They grow theirs. We have walls around our property to protect us. They have friends who protect them. Well, the boy's father was speechless, and then the son added, Dad, I just want to thank you for showing me how poor we are. James says, if you're not careful, prosperity can do a number on you. And you need wisdom to be able to see through all the dollars and cents and stock options. Someone has said that if you're not a follower of Jesus, when you die, you will leave your riches. But if you are a follower of Jesus, when you die, you go to your riches. How are you doing? Handling responsibility, adversity, prosperity. At these intersections of our lives, we need wisdom from above, and it's there for the asking. And the last thing James says here is that wisdom is going to help you look down the line and see better. I didn't say see more effectively, but see better. A lot of you know Preston Hill. There's Preston, seated right out there. For years, I'd ask Preston, say, Preston, how you doing? He'd always say, better. I didn't know anything was wrong. No, just better every day. Preston, how you doing? Better. When you go visit somebody who's ill, when you go visit somebody in the hospital, you walk in and you say, hey, how you doing? Now, they could say, well, what a dumb question. If I were doing fine, I wouldn't be in the hospital. But instead, you walk in, you say, hey, how you doing? And you're hoping to hear that person say better. I am not trying to minimize what some of you are going through right now with some health issues, with some work issues. I mean, we're dealing with a down economy. I'm not trying to minimize what some of you are going through with some family situations. I am saying, though, that wisdom, the person who does not have godly wisdom is short-sighted and they are full of despair. A person with wisdom can look down the road and see the land of better. James 1 verse 12 says it like this, blessed, or God blesses those who patiently, keep on going, verse 12, look down, there you go, next one, verse 12, it's not there, okay, it's faded away, like the grass and the flower that fades away. Okay, all right. James 1:12. Just listen to me. You ready? Here we go. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. And afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. God blesses the person who endures temptation and testing. Notice that, because later that person receives the crown of life. There are some troubles that never get a this world resolution. There are some difficulties that never get a this world explanation. And they never get a this world resolution. You will have to look down the line and wait for the crown of life, which is better. And I'm not minimizing what you're going through now, but folks, when you get to heaven, nothing you're going through now will be worth complaining about in heaven. Nothing. Nothing. You won't get to heaven and complain one day, yeah, this is wonderful, but you should have remembered. Yeah. Nothing you're going through now will be worth complaining over in heaven. The person without wisdom, they can barely see tomorrow. The person with wisdom can look down the line, hang on, and see better. Well, wisdom is yours. It is yours for the asking. And you're making one high-stakes decision after another. Some of you don't think so. Some of you don't really think that your decisions are all that significant right now, because you almost have the attitude of, look, I'm not running for governor. My decisions don't matter all that much. I'm just a meandering, middle of the road. I'm just sort of muddling through life right now. My life's not all that significant. I'm a rank and file guy. I'm a rank and file girl. I'm not running for governor. I'm not a huge player. Therefore, wisdom is not so critical in my life. I beg to differ. You are wrong. Your life has ripples. And the most important people in your life are the ones closest to you. And I would argue exactly the other way. You need wisdom because your life is important. And your life is much more critical than you realize. And I'm asking you this morning to value your life the way God values your life. God values you so much that Jesus went to the cross to redeem you. And God values you so much that He makes the promise to you that He will graciously optimize the potential of your years. Graciously optimize the potential of your years, because He says, I'm willing to pour my wisdom into you for the asking. Don't be like the elder brother who just complains to the father, and then the father says, son, it's all been right here for you to ask. Don't get sour because I gave wisdom to somebody else. It's here for the asking. And it will help you pass the test of responsibility, adversity, and even prosperity. As we close, I want you to listen to the story, to the personal testimony of Daryl and Bridget Roth, two young but wise believers, as they tell a little bit of how God poured some of His wisdom into them at a critical intersection of their life.
I remember meeting my bride and looking forward to all the great things that life has to offer, and getting married, sharing a home, having kiddos, and 5 years into our honeymoon, we were blessed with a pregnancy. And we're hit with a bit of a surprise on the day of the birth. Completely normal pregnancy. Unfortunately, Grace came out with some special challenges. Over the course of the next 5-6 years, we endured more than 15 surgeries. So it was a bit of a surprise, but and not sure how we were going to get through it. And all we could do was rely on God.
As soon as we saw Grace, we knew we were in over our heads as far as being prepared for parenting. And we had read all these great things about parenting, but it was clear, you know, when we saw her for the first time with all those tubes and specialists giving us advice and stuff, that our parenting books weren't going to be enough.
I remember getting a report once and being so upset by it and afraid, frankly, that I found myself laying in the bathroom floor of the hospital, crying out to God, "What do I do?" And I realized the importance of depending on Him. I was not in control, and God was. And it was such a powerful moment because I was so lost, and yet God had His arms wrapped around me.
I remember being very stuck in the why. And I was in the NICU, and I was just speechless and trying to pray, but really didn't know what to pray, and angry and mad and confused and overwhelmed and exhausted and all of those things. And it sort of explained to me how much I loved her and wanted her to be well, but that how much more He wanted that, not only for her, but for me and for Daryl. And
one of the things that Bridge and I have always wanted was a house full of kids. And so we had one, and we were hoping for more. And so deciding to have more was not an easy decision. We weren't sure of what the next challenge might be, if there was one.
That really grew our faith, I think, going when we had other kids, that, you know, some of the things that that they come along with, that He will use that for good.
I think the control piece is an important thing to let go, as they say, and let God. I remember kind of an out and body experience in the doctor's office once, early on, when the doctor said, you know, "We're not sure if she'll ever walk or talk," and it's hard news to take. But when you look back, the journey, the way you've grown through it, you know, additional kiddos, you know, an awesome wife, the family, you know, I would cut off my right arm if Grace could be healthy, but I'm not sure I would change the experience we've had. I mean, and that was God's plan, not ours.
Hey everyone, we're really glad you're with us today, and to our guests, a special welcome to you. Let me ask everybody to take out your order of worship, and particularly the communication card that's there. And I'd like to ask everybody to just fill that out. To our members, just let us know that you were here. And to everyone, if you would indicate a prayer request, if you've got something you'd like for us to pray over this week, we'd be glad to do so. And to our guests, I mean, please don't feel like you have to be a member here to turn in a prayer request. We would love to pray over any requests you'd like to share. And if you want to communicate with us, a desire to talk with somebody about membership here, or to speak with someone about, you know, I'm ready to pursue baptism. That's my next step. Just indicate so on that card, and we will be in touch with you this week. And so take a moment, please, and fill that out. And if you've got some contact information there that you want us to get in touch with you, please make sure you write that legibly, please. Thank you. I'd like to pray over you. Just sort of remain seated. I'm going to pray over you, and then here in just a moment we'll conclude with a final song. So, and if you need to continue to fill out your card as I'm praying, you just take your time and do that. And when you finish those cards, we'll just pass them to the aisles, and they'll be collected here momentarily. Okay, let's bow and let's pray, please. Lord, we turn to you. And we come with faith in you because you've said that you would give wisdom to us generously and not rebuke us. And so we stand eager for you to help us. And at this time and in this moment of prayer, we indeed want to be men and women who hear your voice, and we're faithful to your voice. We ask boldly for wisdom. We ask boldly for the single-mindedness to live out your will and your plan. And Lord, I want to pray for the people of Santiago and for the people of Haiti. I'd like to pray for unity and cooperation among all relief efforts. And especially, Lord, do we intercede for those in those places who were part of the faith community. Would you show your glory? Show the glory of your church during these trying times and care for your people, O God. Would you give every single one of us wisdom for today? Like manna, we ask for it day by day. Let the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. We ask this in your name. Amen.